We are in 1 Peter once again. We'll be working through 1 Peter and moving on into 2 Peter. This morning's chapter 3 in verse 13 through 17. But before we read that, how many believe we are having bad times in this world? Anybody? Having bad times. We are having bad times in just about every area. The economy is bad. Food costs are up. How does hamburger cost $3.99 a pound? It's supposed to be the cheapest stuff there is. You know, hot dogs. Hot dogs are too expensive for us to buy. Okay? They're just expensive. They're just way up. All these costs are way up. There's not really much incentive to save. Interest rates at the bank are just so low. And if you go on the internet, you can type in on Google negative interest rates. I think I've mentioned them before. That's where the bank is going to charge you to put your money in their accounts. And then they get to use it. Why they have it, of course, but negative interest rates. There's already been talk of lowering the interest rates so much that they're in the negative. That's just crazy. And that's not the worst of it all. You know, on top of all that, you know, there's all this unemployment and there's constant removal of these good-paying jobs to other countries. After the economy, there's the threat of war. There's terrorism. There's always this danger of ISIS and other radical groups coming in and doing things, including North Korea. I don't know if you've heard this or not, but NORAD confirmed that that satellite that North Korea just launched a couple weeks ago, 1 hour after the Super Bowl was done, that satellite orbited over the venue, 1 hour after it was done. You know, a lot of people were speculating, was there some kind of a weapon in it? What was that? So there's all these things. And besides all of this, we have just terrible times in this world because there's this lack of godliness everywhere. It's pervasive. There's just vile stuff happening all over the place. Men using women's restrooms, and they say that's okay. And the world is just not going to leave us alone. They're going to keep pushing us as Christians to be more like them. So the question is, what are we supposed to do? How can we have feelings of security in such an evil world? Well, I think 1 Peter chapter 3 sort of starts to give us some answers, gives us a little bit of hope and something to look forward to in answering that question. 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 13, it says, "And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." Now go back to verse 15. I think this is the key verse, and it's going to be our focus this morning. The big insistence in this verse, even the key part of this verse, is that first phrase, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." Now, next Sunday, we're going to be preaching on the second half of this verse, and the second half of this verse is what most people tend to gravitate towards. In the original language, the second half is actually the secondary meaning. It's the secondary thing. It's the afterthought. That's not really the nice way to put it. This is the key. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set apart Jesus as Lord. Make sure he's the head of your life. Now, that word sanctify is an interesting word. I want you to think back to the Lord's Prayer, and they're going to throw that up on the screen. I don't even know if you can read it. It was more or less to help me. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That word hallowed is the same Greek word as sanctify. If that helps it make sense, okay? It means to regard Jesus as the holiest of holies in the entire universe. It means to put Jesus in a category all by himself. That he deserves the highest place in your heart. That you give him the greatest value in your life. That you consider him the one that you love the most. Sanctify the Lord Jesus in your hearts. And that means to recognize his glory. And it means to submit ourselves to his purpose. You know, we tremble, or we ought to tremble, at his awesome power. We ought to be glad because of his sovereignty. We should have joy because he is good and because he is forgiving. You know, folks, I'm warning you right now, I'm going to go on and on about this morning. You're going to say, Pastor, you're just repeating. But this is the key. This is the key to facing evil in this world. Sanctify Christ in your hearts. I mean, there's some other minor points in these verses that I think are very important, and God obviously put them in there for a reason, but this is the key. We must sanctify the Lord in our hearts. Tremble at his awesome power, right? Okay, Pastor, you know, what does that really have to do with suffering? What does that really have to do with the price of hamburger at VG's? Well, the answer is this. Don't fear man. You know, if you feel insecure, it's likely because you have some fear of what a person might do to you in this life. But as born-again believers, we don't have to fear man. We fear Christ. We set him apart as the one to fear the most in our hearts. And basically, verse 14 tells us not to fear man's threat, nor be troubled. And then verse 15 says, instead of fearing man, set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts. Set apart Jesus as the alternative to fearing man. Now, what these verses are telling us is that you can be fearless in the face of pure evil. I didn't get a chance to talk with Jeff yet where you got your Bible college training, but our preaching professor, he always said, all right, you're going to tell them that they can do something. Show them from the Bible and then put that phrase, you can do this because of what God promises. Okay, this is it right here. We can face evil in this world when we set apart Christ as Lord in our hearts. You can be fearless in the face of pure evil and the threats of people when you sanctify Christ in your hearts. And this can be done for one reason. Look at the tail end of verse 15. This can be done. We can sanctify Christ in our hearts. We can set him apart as this special place, this most holy place, because he is our hope. You see that? We can do this because Christ is our hope. At least he should be. He should be what we are looking forward to. Here's a very personal question I want you to consider this morning. How often do you dream about Christ? Do you ever dream about him? Do you ever like sort of start daydreaming about Jesus? Does your mind just ever start to wander, thinking about his wonderful grace and his phenomenal forgiveness? How often do you allow your thoughts to just drift off and think about heaven? Let's just be honest with ourselves this morning and say, rarely. Rarely. Then what are we hoping in then? What are we preoccupied with? What is it? What is that thing or those things that are crowding out the Lord in our lives? Perhaps it's your children. I know that's what I get preoccupied with a lot, having four young children. You know, somebody's constantly sticking lightsabers in the toilet or, you know, digging things out of the trash and dragging them through the house, you know. I get preoccupied with those things. But the verse doesn't say, sanctify your children in your hearts. This is Jesus, right? Now, maybe it's your house or the projects that you're trying to complete around your house. You know, you're trying to do this or repair that or remodel this. And even as I walked over this morning, that windstorm we had the other night, there's like four shingles from the parsonage garage laying in the yard. You know, those things can start to wear on you. You can start to think, boy, what am I going to do here? And we can get preoccupied with our house, our home. The verse doesn't say, set apart your house as Lord. It says, set apart Jesus as Lord. Well, what about this? The verse doesn't say to put your hope in your job. You know, the Word of God never instructs us to set apart our jobs as the highest place in our hearts. It's Jesus who's supposed to be there. You know, so much pain, so much heartache, so much anxiety and fear and depression exists simply because Jesus is not Lord in our hearts. Our hope isn't on Him. Something else is Lord. Now, here's another one I haven't mentioned yet. You know, I've mentioned children. I've mentioned our homes. I've mentioned our job. Perhaps there's something else that's been elevated in front of Jesus. Perhaps it's yourself. Perhaps you've elevated your desires and your hopes and your personal dreams in front of Jesus. Maybe you've placed your hope on something tangible, something that you can touch, something that you can see. And I know that you know this, right? But sometimes we need reminders. All those things that we can touch, all those things that we can see, they will fail. And when that happens, when that thing that you've put your hope in, when it fails, your joy will be sucked out of you. However, when Christ is Lord and your hope is in Him, your joy will be full even in the midst of incredible evil. Even when you don't get what you want, even when your expectations are not met, you will have joy because your hope is in the Lord. Isn't there a song? You don't have to sing. I'll try. My hope is built on nothing less than my dreams and my righteousness. It doesn't say that. Our hope is in Jesus and His righteousness. Yet so few people approach life this way. They get all hot and bothered by the junk in this world. They allow people to intimidate them. We let people threaten and intimidate us. Friends, think about this for a moment. What can people really do to us? What's the worst some clown can do to you? They could take your physical life. They could take all of the property you own, right? They could take all your stuff. But Jesus said, hey, don't let people intimidate you. Matthew 10:28, he says, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, for some people, that verse brings a lot of hope. Yeah, we don't want to fear people. We need to just fear Jesus Christ. We need to set Him as Lord. But for some people, that verse is a little bit scary. You know, we've read some other verses from Matthew in the last couple months, and they just keep sort of coming up, these scary verses. Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, many will say, Lord, have we not prospered? prophesied in your name? Haven't we cast out demons in your name? Haven't we done many wonders in your name? And then God will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Some scary verses in the Bible. Don't be afraid of people. They can kill you. Instead, you need to be fearing God. Right? How about this one? Matthew 18, it's that forgiveness passage. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father will also do to each of you from his heart if he does not forgive his brothers of their trespasses. That's some scary verses. Every now and then, as you're reading the Bible, you run across some of those verses that are downright scary. I guess the point of that illustration was, do you ever think about those verses? And then do you think about how they affect your life? Well, no. I'm too distracted by Facebook and Fox News and CNN and the elections and Dancing with the Stars. Now you're starting to meddle, Josh. Don't touch Dancing with the Stars. I'll stop tithing. You know, I don't really care what you watch. I don't care what your hobbies are. I just want you to make sure that you are thinking about biblical things once in a while. There's this verse that talks about working out your faith, your salvation, with fear and trembling. There's this verse, placing your hope in Him, sanctifying the Lord God in your hearts. All this other junk that the world's pushing on us, it's going to fade into oblivion. And if He is not sanctified in our hearts, if He is not our hope, if He is not what is most hallowed, if He is not what is most looked forward to, you're going to be on shaky ground. You're going to be fearful. You're going to be anxious. My wife recently went out to see her sister in Virginia, and she said that the last flight, when it landed, didn't you say people were clapping? Not yours, okay. Some other story, sorry. Got it mixed up. A friend of ours just recently flew, and there was so much turbulence on the plane that when they laughed, people were clapping. You know, that picture of turbulence is what our lives would be like if the Lord isn't there set apart as our hope. One pastor said, fearlessness is a clear testimony that our hope is real. Fearlessness is a clear testimony that our hope is real. That's the issue in these verses. Sanctifying Christ as Lord and the hope and fearlessness that it brings. Now, as I said, next week we'll be talking about defending our hope. But today we are considering Christ's value to our lives. You know, sometimes when I preach a sermon or when somebody else preaches a sermon, there's people that are walking out and they're like, you know, Pastor, my toes hurt a little bit this morning. You know, you're stepping on toes. Or some people might say, boy, I got a burden today. What you were preaching on, I just got this burden to go ahead and do this. You know, maybe you saw the VBS video and you're like, I have a burden to help out with that in some way. And sometimes we feel that way. But this morning, the way I want us to feel is this sermon should be freeing. Because we are freeing you from fear. What we're trying to do, what Jesus is trying to do, is free us from getting too entangled with the things of this world by doing something that we should already be doing, setting Him apart in a special place, the highest place, the most important place in our hearts. So friends, this is a freeing text. It's really the core of Christianity. It's setting us up for a joy-filled life. What's it doing? It's glorifying God, setting him apart, and then it's reaching the lost in the next phrase. But all of that is tied to the sanctifying Christ in our heart and placing our hope in him. Recently, we've talked about some of the differences between Christianity and other systems of belief. Can I tell you the biggest difference between Christianity and other religions? And this is really cool, and I can't really take credit for it, this idea. But the difference between Christianity and all other religions is that we have a Savior who does not call us first to work for God, but to hope in his work for us. Now, I put that up on the screen because I really wanted you to think about that. We have a Savior who does not call us to first work for him, but to hope in his work for us. I hope you get that. You know, it's not just a cliche. It's true. So the challenge for us, and maybe you already do this, I'm not implying that you don't do this, maybe you do this, but maybe when you wake up every morning, you need to consciously say to the Lord, I want to put you in a special place in my heart. And today, no matter what happens, I'm going to look to you for my hope. So many times when we wake up in the morning, we start worrying about work. We start thinking about all the things that we have to get done that day. And then these feelings of being overwhelmed and overcome sort of flood our mind. Instead of that, hope in him. Trust in him. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Which brings us to some of the other points in the text about how to have feelings of security in an evil world. Look at verse 13. This will be really quick. We're almost done. Verse 13. Develop a passion for goodness. Do you see that? Being good. This is just so basic, folks. I don't need to spend a lot of time on it. To paraphrase the verse, somebody could say, it will be harder for the world to persecute you and treat you badly if you're doing good to them. So start with being good in an evil world. Verse 14, then sometimes, even in spite of being good, you might still suffer persecution. So the point in that verse is just be willing to suffer. Just sort of roll with it. I don't know if that's the most biblical phrase to use. Just roll with it. You know, maybe you're suffering because God is teaching you a lesson. And one thing I know about God is he won't let you move on to another lesson until you've sort of learned that one. So you might continue to keep learning that one and keep suffering the same thing over and over until the Lord finds you faithful in that area. So be willing to suffer. Then at the end of verse 14, what does it say? Stay calm. Verse 15, we've already covered, sanctify Christ and put your hope in him. Verse 16 and 17, they talk about good conduct and doing good. The implication here is that hoping in Christ and sanctifying him in your hearts isn't simply a mental exercise. You know what I mean? It's not like we're like, okay, I'm going to sanctify Christ in my heart today. Yay, I'm done. It is clear that putting our hope in Christ does not make us inactive. Verse 16 and 17 say, go out and do good. Go out and do good things for Jesus Christ. That's when our joy is going to be found, as we allow him to work through us by setting him apart, by placing our hope in him. It actually frees us to do ministry. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain Now, you may be doing good in the world, and you may be suffering because of it, and you may feel like your wheels are turning, but that labor is not in vain in God's eyes. But ultimately, what's the sermon title? It's about feelings. Whether it's any feelings of security or any other type of feeling, what does it always go back to? It goes back to this lordship issue. Is Christ your Lord? Or is something else? What matters most to you? Is it Jesus Christ or is it something else? Just as we wrap it up, and you folks can even start heading up here for the last song, ponder this for a moment. Only Christ matters, right? In light of eternity, could anything in this world matter more than Jesus Christ? Since this world is passing away, nothing we do, nothing that we say, nothing we can achieve, nothing we own, no fortune that we may accumulate, no legacy that we may build, no huge list of friends, none of it matters compared to our Lord. Only Christ matters. Now we need to hear this. We need to repeat this to each other. We need to preach it. We need to teach it to our children. Because we will never be ready for suffering until we lift Christ up and set him apart as Lord of all. You know, the most blessed and happy person is the one who has decided to sanctify the Lord God in his or her heart. However, if your heart or if my heart is set on an earthly thing, a possession, a pleasure, a personal happiness, financial security, business success, career advancement. If that's what your heart's set on, then you are very vulnerable. You will suffer. You will be overwhelmed. Because all of those things that we mentioned, all of these earthly things, they can be taken away so quickly, and you can be so easily hurt. But if you give your life to Jesus and you sanctify him in your heart as Lord, no one, not even the devil himself, can take that away from you. And you'll be totally secure. You'll feel totally secure because your hope is in him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these verses that you've given us this morning to study and look through. And Lord, sometimes as human beings, we tend to get a little bit bored with looking at the same things week after week after week. But Father, I'm just so glad that you gave us these books of 1st and 2nd Peter. And Lord, if we're heading that direction of boredom, just bring us back to where we're excited to come learn from your word. Where our hearts are open to really seek changes if necessary. Lord, I pray for my friends and my family that are here, my brothers and sisters, that we would just examine our hearts to make sure that Jesus is at the top, that he is total Lord of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.